What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today is all about the preseason. Gonna do, I don't know how long this episode is gonna be, but just gonna be talking about my thoughts on last night's preseason game. If you don't know, if you missed it, because you were watching football or whatever you were doing, the Wizards played their first preseason game of the 2024-25 season on Sunday night in Montreal against the Raptors. It was a pretty lopsided game. Pretty much from the jump, the Wizards got into to an early hole. They were down 16, I think, at most in the first quarter. No, 20 in the first quarter. And not the best showing, but it's preseason. You're not necessarily looking for team results. You're looking at individuals, rotations, starting lineups, who's playing where, and that's kind of what my takeaways are as well. So I'm kind of going to go down the roster and give you my analysis on each player. Everyone played, except obviously Sadiq Bey and Malcolm Brogdon's hurt. I'll talk about that now. But yeah, just going to go down the roster, give you my thoughts on everyone, and then kind of give you a synopsis of what I overall took away from the game. So the first thing I want to touch on is Malcolm Brogdon, because the Wizards are very vague with a lot of things, but especially injuries. And all that we know is Megan McPeak went on pregame and basically before the game started, said Malcolm Brogdon returned to DC following a hand injury, I think in Saturday's practice or Friday's practice. Returned to DC for further testing and further evaluation. The severity, according to the team, is unknown at this time. But if Malcolm Brogdon has to go home, and get further testing and they don't know the severity of it and all that, that does not sound good. That sounds like a fractured hand to me, and I don't want to speculate, obviously, but it seems like it's probably not good. And that's probably going to take a month. I think it takes around 4 to 6 weeks for a broken hand to heal. So Brogdon would probably start the majority of October, obviously, and November as well, on the bench as he recovers. So that's key because someone's going to have to start. I think Brogdon would have started, and that kind of messes everything up, but with Brogdon potentially being out for a bit, this Wizards team has a new look starting five. And you saw it last night. The Wizards started the game with Poole at point guard, Koulibaly at shooting guard, Kuzma at small forward, Sarr at power forward, and JV at center. A big lineup, with Kuz at the three. He's 6'10", Sarr 7 foot, JV 7 foot. And I think it helped in a lot of ways. I don't think Kuz benefited from it. I thought Kuz was sloppy, lackluster passes. There's a couple of times where he had a wide open three and passed it, and other times where he forced a step back mid-range shot. A lot of turnovers from Kyle, four shots. I didn't really like what I saw from him on defense, effort-wise, and just overall defensive-wise. So not the best showing for Kuz. It's also different because he's used to playing the four. And he's playing the three, so I'm sure it's a little bit to get used to heading back to that role. But who it did benefit in a big way was Alex Sarr. Wizards' number two overall pick was terrible in Summer League. And honestly, even to begin this game, he wasn't great. I mean, there was a couple times where he fumbled the pass, and other times he missed a shot, really didn't show anything offensively. And then he clicked it on, towards the end of the second. And into the third, he was phenomenal. Arguably the Wizards' best player during that stretch. And I think playing alongside Valanciunas helped a little bit. But also playing without him helped because I think the minutes he didn't play with JV were actually better. The minutes where he kind of roamed the floor, I think he was playing with Marvin Bagley. He was great. He finished with 15 points on 6 of 8 shooting, 3 of 4 from three. And the three ball is huge because he made his first three in Summer League, and then I think he went like 0-0-4 for the last four games. But he was money. He had his first two, missed one, and then got a nice open look in the corner, drilled that as well. And the three ball is something that Alex Sarr needs to kind of equip to his game as a slender big. Having that to extend your range and use your speed to get around guys that have to come out and guard you, that's huge. And so if defenders have to respect his three ball this early in his career, that's a really good sign. The confidence, you could tell he was settling in. You could tell he was kind of figuring things out. And that's what you want to see from a rookie. Like, you're not going to see Alex Sarr come in and dominate. I don't think he's going to have, a dominant showing at all this year. But You could just tell it's night and day from when he first touched the rock in Summer League to where he is now. Even playing against much better competition, he looked like he belonged. He looked, honestly, if you're being real, he was the second best player on the Wiz. I mean, I thought Jordan Poole had a pretty solid game, and I put him over him for that night. But Alex Starr kind of showed everything he needed to. He had a block. Defense was solid. Offensively, slow start, but made three threes, shot 75% from three on four attempts, 6 of 8 from the field as well. So efficient all around, not just from deep. 4 rebounds, 3 assists. So he was passing the ball a little bit. And I think the one gripe from Wizards fans I saw, and I would understand this and agree with it, is he's got to get on the glass more. 4 rebounds from a guy that's 7'1" isn't a lot, and I think a lot of fans are concerned that he's going to be allergic to rebounding and allergic to getting down low. Now, I don't think that's going to be the case, but I certainly do understand the concern of taking that away from last night's game in terms of, 15 points great, 3 assists great, great 3-point shooting, but get some boards, because this is the Wizards team that was 30th in the league last season in rebounding. So definitely a really exciting performance from Sar. Kind of showcased all he could do, and exactly how, he just needs some time to settle in. He's going to get a lot better. So thought Sar was very good. In terms of the other two rookies, Bub got his shots. I thought Bub generated good looks and got good looks, just didn't fall. I mean, he took a couple of open threes, didn't fall. He had a nice and one for I think his only bucket. I think he's 1 of 7. But again, not concerned with Bub and how he played, because he played great defense. I thought he played physical, picked up full court. You can see why he's a solid two-way player. And again, if you actually watch the game and didn't just look at his 1 for 7 performance, his looks were good. He was taking efficient shots. They look smooth. It just didn't go in. And that's going to happen sometimes. So again, I'm not too concerned about anything with Bub. In terms of the third rookie, with Keyshawn, he showed exactly what Keyshawn George is and what the Wizards drafted him to be. I mean, his shot is so smooth. I mean, at 6'7", he can rise over the defense and just shoot on the wing. He's a perfect 3-and-D wing. The defense was great, but he had a stretch where he just, I think back-to-back possessions, he just pulled up and drilled a three. And that's exactly what the Wizards are looking for. A-plus form. You could tell he really shoots the ball well. And again, like I said, this is why the Wiz drafted him. He shot 48% from three in Summer League, 52% from the field in Summer League, and played defense, very good defense, throughout that stretch and throughout this game against Toronto. So I thought Sar and George were really good. I thought Bub got to his spots and played good D, just didn't get him to fall. So overall, a pretty nice performance from the Wizards 2024 draft class. I already talked about Kuz. I didn't think he played particularly well. A little bit sloppy, probably a little rusty as well. I thought Poole was great though. Jordan Poole started at point guard. He seemed to be in control. He had a pair of first half threes. I thought his passing, was great with 6 assists. In terms of distributing the rock and trying to get all of his teammates involved, that's the main goal of a lead guard is to do that. Efficient as well. 5 of 9. 2 of 5 from three, so 40% from deep is pretty good. In terms of turnovers, zero. And I know a lot of people are, oh, Jordan Poole, yeah, he might get 6 to 7 assists, but he's going to turn the ball over. Zero turnovers. 16 points, 6 assists, zero turnovers. That's a phenomenal performance in just 22 minutes as well. I mean, 16 points on just 9 shots, 40% from three, no turnovers. Like, again, it seems like a lot of people are just never going to get around to the fact that Jordan Poole just struggled because he was in the wrong position last year, and now he's finally in the right position. I understand that might be a lot for some people to take in, but you got to come back to reality. Whatever preconceived notions you have about him from last year, throw them out the window, because it's a new player in a new position on a new team in a new scheme under a new coaching staff, and he's still, I think, only 24 or 25. So you need to just clean slate for Jordan Poole this year, because I feel like a lot of fans are just like, he's not good because I saw him play the first 2 months of last year and he was terrible, so I'm out. You got to give him time, and he's proving to the Wizards fans and to himself and to all these people like he can play point guard, he can be efficient with it, he's not going to turn the ball over. And I think this was a nice start. I'm not by all means, I'm not saying that Jordan Poole has solidified he's an elite starting point guard, but this was a good start. Shot the ball well, passed the ball well, didn't turn it over. You can't really ask for much more in a preseason debut. So I thought Poole was probably the best player. No, Poole was the best player on the court for the Wizards. But I want to also talk about Bilal because he's the fourth starter I haven't talked about. Bilal's jumper has me so excited for his development, for what he can be. Because if you remember, like Bilal to start last year would catch the ball, he'd hesitate and he'd immediately look to pass it. He'd take like two dribbles to his right and then kick it out to a 3-point shooter, sometimes turn it over. If you remember the first 10 games of Bilal, you know that was kind of what was going on. And to see the evolution of Bilal, do you see it, a guy that started shooting the ball really well last year, great defender, was picking up arguably the best player on the opposing team a lot of times last year, was developing more in terms of a game, putting the ball on the deck. I had a couple huge dunks, some tough layups. He was slowly but surely getting there. He goes into the Olympics, he plays solid, then doesn't play for a while, then gets into the gold medal game, wins silver with France. Clearly, that experience playing with that level of competition was huge for him. And then you see him in the first preseason action against Toronto. He first touch, he catches the ball. Grady Dick comes up and stunts like he's going to go underneath the screen. So Bilal pump fakes. Grady Dick has to respect that because Bilal has shown he can make the three. Grady Dick goes over the screen. Bilal uses the JV screen, takes a dribble into the mid-range, pulls up, nothing but net. And it was smooth too. Like there was no hitch in his shot. It just seemed like a really solid jumper. And then there was another point in the game where he had it isolated top right of the key, takes a jab to the left, dribbles right into like the right elbow mid-range area, goes into his defender, takes a little bit of a step back to his right, and drains a really smooth mid-range. He had a three as well. Like he looks good. He looks like he's figuring it out offensively. He's not hesitant anymore. He's confident in his jumper, confident in his ability to shoot, put the ball on the deck, distribute for his teammates. And I think those two middies kind of showed the evolution of Bilal offensively this offseason. That was never anything in his bag his rookie year. And the fact that it's already there and it already looks that good and that smooth right now, that just kind of shows like, dude, this kid's 20. He just turned 20. He's only going to get better. He's grown 2 inches, in the last couple of months. He's put on 10 pounds. The sky's the limit for Bilal. He's easily the most exciting and intriguing prospect on this team. And I think Wizards fans have a lot to be excited about because of how he's, evolved already in just a short amount of time. So really like what I saw from Bilal. He picked up two blocks and two steals. No one's going to talk about that, but he's so good defensively at such an early stage of his career that I feel like fans forget about that. They're so focused on offense because they're like, he's got the defense already. Let's not even talk about it. No, let's talk about it. Two steals and two blocks from a guard. Phenomenal. There was one play where the ball wasn't even in his stratosphere. He's so lanky. Like he just reached out and deflected it back to himself, corralled the ball on the floor, outletted it, and the Wizards ended up going on the fast break. He's so good defensively. Let's not run over that. And he's gonna be matched up on the opposing team's best player all year. So even if he struggles, like he's gonna get those reps, which is huge, guarding the other team's best player. And if that offense develops at the rapid pace it's already developing, again, like I said, the sky's the absolute limit for this kid. Seeing a lot of people making Giannis comparisons. I'm not gonna tell you not to. Kind of a similar career trajectory as of right now, but it's lofty expectations, but I think it's definitely, feasible for a guy like Bilal. So to round out the starters, I want to talk about Valanciunas for a bit. I mean, look, I thought JV was like okay. He's kind of what you expected him to be. He's a presence down low. He's a big body. He's not going to get bullied there. But again, in terms of lateral quickness, getting out on the perimeter, defense stretch fives, and playing, guards if they get switched onto him in the pick and roll, it's not great. And it's never really been great. JV's never been an elite defender or even like a really good defender. He's been solid. And I think that's what you're going to get. You're going to get great rebounding from him, which you already saw. He had 6 rebounds in the first quarter. You're going to get, the occasional barrage of threes if they're not respecting him. He's got a decent touch in the post with a little hook over the shoulder shot. So, like, he's going to be active on the glass on both ends. He's going to be a presence down low. He's going to add a little bit more offense than like a guy like Daniel Gafford would. But again, I wouldn't get my hopes up to him being this like guy who's going to solve all your defensive problems at center. He's going to solve the rebounding problems on defense, but I wouldn't say he's going to solve the defensive problems on defense. It's going to be a long season defensively. You saw that with the starting five even today. You know, it's going to be tough. Just, you know, not a lot of people that can really guard. And you know, when that's the case, you're going to get beat a lot. You're going to give up a lot of points, and that's what happened on Sunday, and it's what's going to happen most of the season. So that's the starting five. I thought they were like, you know, okay. Not really too intrigued or too worried about any of their stats. I talked about the Wizards rookies as well. I do want to talk about this for 1 second. And I've heard a lot of people bring this up to me over DM or just talking to them in person. And again, I don't want to put anybody on blast. But one thing that did surprise me was I mean, Alex Starr had a stretch where he had, I think, like 8 points in 3 minutes. Didn't see a single post about that until maybe after the game, and I don't even know if they did post about that stretch. And then you go over to Alex Starr, who has it's not a poster, but it's a pretty emphatic dunk. And they don't post about it until I think I have it here as 11 minutes after. I don't know. Like, I feel like if you're trying to grow a brand and you're trying to like do stuff, like a competent org would have a socials guy who's clipping that in 2 seconds and making sure that they get it up. Like, after that happened 12 minutes later, 11 minutes later, I'm not saying it's not newsworthy, but it's like, yeah, it's been talked about. Like, let's get it out. And I think this, I'm just saying this because this has been brought to my attention by a lot of people. And I agree with it. Like, most socials teams you'd see, they would have had that out within 2 to 3 minutes. Just clip it, post it, put a little caption. I mean, the same thing happened with the final score graphic. It was like 7 or 8 minutes after the final whistle. Like, again, it's just like these little things that I've been noticing, and like other people have been noticing and telling me as well. You know, just a comment. Again, not trying to put the social team on blast. I'm sure they have their reasons, or maybe they're not supposed to post them until a certain amount of time. But that's just an observation from me and from other Wizards fans that have talked to me about it. So, wanted to, like, you know, just say that. A couple of other things, you know, talking about some lesser known guys. I thought Marvin Bagley was pretty solid. You know, I thought he had multiple putback layups, an and one. He's very active on the glass offensively as well, which I don't consider to be a huge part of his game, but it was. He was very active on both ends, especially offense. You know, so I thought Marvin Bagley played solid minutes, and I think the major thing is that I don't think we saw Rashawn Holmes. I mean, I can double check the box score right now. But yeah, we didn't see Rashawn Holmes, and I don't think he's hurt. Everyone's healthy. You know, I figured maybe they'd go with Holmes just because he's a bigger body and I guess a more traditional center. But he's still a little bit undersized, and clearly they want to go with Bagley because he came off the bench and played 13 minutes. And again, that's 13 more minutes than Rashawn Holmes. And by no means does that mean that it's their rotation. But I mean, I did mention on my last pod, it is a battle between Bagley and Holmes for the backup center spot. And it seems pretty clear that not that Bagley has won that yet, but maybe he's winning it, or maybe they view him as that role as opposed to a guy like Holmes. Again, I don't know. They gave Holmes a nice contract in this offseason. And Bagley's, I think, on the last year of his deal. So again, if you ask me right now, I would have to tell you that Bagley's going to be the backup center behind JV. But again, there's a lot more to be seen. So I thought Bagley was actually pretty solid. Johnny Davis, let's talk about Johnny Davis real quick. If you listen to this pod over the last year, you know I wouldn't say I'm a Johnny Davis stan, but I've been in his corner. I've been one of the few people that refuses to sell their Johnny Davis stock, and I've been very vocal about why. Again, I think this is a guy that was failed by the old front office in DC. Should never have been taken number 10 with the lack of shooting. I mean, they took this guy to be a point guard. Remember that. They said on draft night, we think Johnny is a point guard. Johnny Davis probably didn't even think he was a point guard. Johnny Davis is a shooting guard, maybe a small forward. He's definitely not a point guard. And it's a guy that I think was failed by those expectations being too high. Maybe them putting him in the wrong position, literally at point guard when he's a shooting guard or a forward. And I think just that killed his confidence. And he's had to slowly build himself back up. And we saw towards the end of last season, he had a couple of good games. His shot has improved mechanically and efficiency-wise, especially from deep. And I thought he looked solid in the first Summer League game, really didn't show enough. But against the Raptors, and again, like, this is a former top 10 pick from just 2 years ago, really. So, like, I wouldn't say it's pathetic that we're viewing all of this as, like, that's a huge win, but it is when you look at the grand scheme of things. I mean, Johnny Davis was arguably the best player off the bench last night for the Wizards. I mean, he had 16 in 16 minutes. He had 8 points on 2 of 4 shooting, drilled the only three he took. And this was literally Johnny Davis entered the game, got a spot up three, no hesitation, nothing but net. It looked smooth. Picked up 2 rebounds, had an assist, 1 turnover. The issue is the free throw shooting. I mean, he is 3 of 8. He's 3 of 8 from the line. That's 3 points. He should have been in double figures easily. But even with that, like, I knew he struggled from the line, and I still thought he was really good. Great defender. His rotations, my guy Matt Moderno mentioned this on Twitter as well, and I'm so happy that he brought it up because Johnny Davis rotates so well. He knows where to be defensively. And that on top of the fact that he's very quick, like laterally, great lateral quickness. He's a smart defender. Like, that's kind of what I've been envisioning is he's not going to be this superstar. Never. He's not going to be a 20-point scorer. But if he can figure out the three ball, figure out his confidence offensively, the defense is there. I thought Johnny Davis was actually really solid. I'm going to probably get some pushback on that. And that's just from people that clearly didn't watch the game. But again, I thought he was great. There's no more hitch in his jumper. It looks smooth mechanically. He seems confident in his game. And I think that could be really, that was really reflected in his performance on Sunday. So I thought Johnny Davis was actually pretty solid. Him and Bagley were probably the two best players to come off the bench for the Wiz. I talked about Brogdon already, hand injury. I think it's probably broken, but that's speculation. And then towards the end of the game, it was kind of garbage time. A final like 8:30, you saw the first minutes of Anthony Gill, Jared Butler, and Tristan Vucevic. Tristan Vucevic actually looked pretty solid. I mean, if you look at just the stats, I mean, 10 points in 8 minutes, 4 of 4 shooting, drilled his only three, made his only free throw, 1 rebound, 1 turnover. And you look at it and you're like, you know what? I thought he was the best player on the bench. What a great 10 or 8 minute spell from Tristan Vucevic. And that's fine, but like, honestly, I didn't even know. I was still watching by this point, obviously, but I didn't even know he had 10 points on 4 of 4. I was so focused on how bad his defense was. He was never in the right spot. He refused to get on the glass. There was one moment where, and I don't know this who, it's an unknown Raptors player. He's one of their end of bench guys. I apologize for not knowing him. But there was one where the ball, like when the ball like hits off the back rim and just like goes, it's skies high, like it's just in the air forever and everyone's kind of watching. Vucevic was right there. And he just watched this guy jump up for the rebound. Didn't box him out. Didn't put a body on him. Didn't even go for the rebound. This happened on multiple occasions. And you see 8 minutes, 10 points, 1 rebound. Refusal to get on the glass is something that I don't like. He's a little slender and skinny, so he can't really body up on defense. And again, I didn't think he was in the right spots defensively. And as a result, if you come in and you have 10 points in 8 minutes on 4 of 4, and you're still a minus 10. Clearly, the defense when you were on the floor was awful. And that was the case. I don't think it was all Vucevic's fault, but it was somewhat his fault. He was on the floor for it. He was the anchor, supposedly down low. He wasn't grabbing rebounds. He wasn't in the right spots defensively. He wasn't marking his assignment or bodying up to his assignment the way that you'd hope for him to do. A minus 10 in 8 minutes and you had 10 points, that's not good. So again, it's just, I reiterate, that's why a lot of people, I like that people enjoy while listening to this pod for more analysis. I'm sure a lot of people didn't watch this game and they just got onto the box score and like, oh wow, he had 10 points in only 8 minutes, didn't miss. That's great. You gotta watch. And that's what I'm here to do. You gotta watch. And again, I didn't think he was bad. I didn't think Vucevic was terrible. Offensively, he was fine. But overall, when you consider the defense and being a minus 10 in that short span, I don't think he was that good. And that might be controversial or a hot take, but again, if you watch the game, I didn't think he was particularly great. So that's my analysis on Vooch. I thought Anthony Gill was Anthony Gill. Like he was fine. Missed his only shot, was a minus 10, only 8 minutes. He's not here to put up 50 points. Like, he's not even here to score. He's not even here to play. He's here to be a veteran presence, a good locker room guy, and that's what you're paying him to do. So, again, I think he's doing a good job of that. I don't know, but I'm sure he is. So, moving on. Jared Butler was Jared Butler again. Like he's good. 1 of 4, so inefficient. -10 again. Had 2 assists. I thought he had I made a couple of nice plays. Hit his only three. Or never mind. He had an and one, not only three. He had an and one. But again, one of the things I did take away, one of the major takeaways, was the fact that Bub was the first guard off the bench to take Poole out. And I tweeted this out. Again, these rotations aren't finalized, but I feel like, you're going to start the people you're going to start, and you're going to play the same rotations you'd usually play, at least to start the game, just so you can get familiarity with having, those guys on the court in a real life, basketball game against the other competitors that's not your team. To build that chemistry, that camaraderie. And I think Bob being that first guard off the bench instead of Butler kind of tells me Bob is going to be that guy, just like it tells me Bagley is going to be the guy to back up JV. So again, that was one of my major takeaways, that Jared Butler's probably going to be that third string guard, and Bob Carrington's going to come off the bench to back up Jordan Poole pretty early, which I'm sure a lot of Wizards fans like. I like that decision as well. So not mad at that. You saw Champagne came in with like 6:50 left. He didn't do much. Other than that, like Corey Kispert played 19 minutes, but it was a pretty quiet 19. He drilled a three, made 2 free throws. But again, -26 from Corey. So the defense wasn't great. And even George, -22. Minuses all around. The only plus was Patrick Baldwin Jr., which, look, it is, he's a very polarizing player because, like, he has so much potential. He has the size. His shooting form is solid. It's just like he can never seem to put it all together. And he did towards the end of last season. But again, like, if you ask me about him, I just tell you, like, I wasn't moved by Baldwin Jr. I mean, 14 minutes, 1 of 4 from the field, missed both his threes, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 3 points, and was a +1. So again, like, I wasn't moved. And if you're competing for the last roster spot and that's your stat line, again, I'm not moved. Like, if I was gonna waive you, I'm still gonna waive you. If I was gonna keep you, you didn't really tell me why I should keep you. You didn't tell me why I shouldn't keep you, but you didn't tell me why I should. And that's kind of my point here is Baldwin Jr. kind of seems like what Baldwin Jr. is, and Wizards fans are gonna keep hoping and hoping and hoping and hoping he develops into somebody like Michael Porter Jr. I just don't think that's going to be the case. And I think if anybody's the odd man out, it's probably him, unless they get him back on a two-way. So that's, I mean, I went over everybody that played. The people that didn't play, Kira Lewis Jr., Jalen Noel, and Leaky Black, who are all camp invites. So again, not surprising. You'll probably maybe see them towards the end of preseason if the starters start to rest, but I don't know. Sadiq Bey obviously didn't play. He's going to be out till at least like December/January, maybe even the whole year, because he's still recovering from that ACL tear last March. And then Rashawn Holmes, that was probably the biggest DMP, just because it kind of solidifies, I think, that with Holmes not even being hurt and not playing, Bagley is probably going to back up JV at the five, and Holmes probably will be that third string center. So that's like the individual takeaways. In terms of the team, I was very disappointed with a couple things. Number one, they looked just like they looked last year, in the wrong spots, unforced turnovers, bonehead plays, just not being in the right spots defensively, which is infuriating to watch because, like, it's the preseason. Obviously, there's going to be, like, kinks you got to work out, but you got to be in the right spots, as a majority of the time, and they just never rotated the right way. Too many open threes. The perimeter defense was non-existent. All these unforced turnovers led to transition for Toronto. I thought the transition defense wasn't particularly great. Rebounding was better just because you had JV down low, and that helped you a ton. But defensively, it was just not good. I mean, 125 points by Toronto is a lot in most cases, but to the Wizards, that seems like it's standard. It's commonplace, especially the last year or so. So the defensive buy-in needs to be better. Being in the right spot needs to be better. Turnovers need to be cleaned up. And they dug into a Hurley hole. They got back to 12. Like they cut into it in the third, actually won the third quarter, tied the second quarter. But again, it's just too little too late. You end up losing by nearly 30. And lost by 27. So those are a couple of the team overall things I wasn't a fan of. I did like the rotations. I like that Bob is going to back up Poole instead of Butler. I liked that Bagley is going to back up JV instead of Holmes. Not ideal that Brogdon injured his hand because I thought playing alongside Poole would be great for Poole and for the rest of the starters and would bring more defense. I mean, I think you saw the lack of defense in the starting five is pretty, in your face for lack of a better.
That's clearly going to be an issue, and Brogdon would have helped that out, especially on the perimeter as well. So that
Not ideal. I think he'll be out for a decent bit if the hand is broken. He's going to get more tests, and I'll keep you posted on that. But again, I thought those were kind of
your takeaways. But I thought Poole looked great. I thought Kuz was a little rusty, sloppy. But again, biggest takeaway, our look.
the Alex you drafted him to be. Again, I'll say his stat line again: 15 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 6 of 8 from the field, 3 of 4 from three in 22 minutes. It's a very solid performance from your number two pick. Wizards fans on the timeline, I could tell, were really excited about the performance. Really excited to just, after all that I'm sure Sar went through, it was nice to see one go in, just see a solid game. And for Wizards fans,
All the discourse about
taken Reed Sheppard number one. You should have taken Reese Hoshea or traded up for him, or you shouldn't have taken Sar. You should have traded back. All that, and I just kept telling Wizards fans, like, and by no means is this a victory lap, because this is one good.
but I kept telling Wizards fans, it's summer league. He's struggling. He's going to struggle. He's gonna figure it out. He's gonna settle down.
And all the people that are calling him Kwame Brown right now are going to look pretty stupid in a couple of months. Those people look pretty stupid right now because he looked really solid on both ends. And, that's kind of why the Wizards drafted him. So, again, biggest takeaway from preseason game number one is that Alex Sarr kind of figured it out, settled in offensively, showed what he can do from three, and should have Wizards fans pretty excited about his development, and the future of this team, and why they're watching this season, which is to see guys like Sarr, Koulibaly, Bob, Keyshawn George, even guys like Jordan Poole gradually improve, because there are people that could possibly be here for the duration of this rebuild, kind of what this team is centered around. And I think that's really intriguing for a lot of Wizards fans. So that's going to do it for this. I'm going to do one of these, I think, after every preseason game. I think it'll be fun to kind of recap what I saw and kind of go from there. So again, that's going to do it for this analysis type game reaction from preseason game number one, where the Wizards lost to Toronto 125 to 98. Washington will be back pretty soon for more preseason action coming up. And yeah, that's gonna do it for this episode. Next game is at New York on the 9th. So on Wednesday at 7:30, it's New York, and then they'll play Friday at 7 against Toronto. That's home if anybody's going to that game. And then their next home game in the preseason is versus New York on the 18th at 7 p.m. They play the Nets as well. So total of 5 games, 4 preseason games left, 2 at home, 2 on the road. Solid showing from Sar, solid showing from George and from Jordan Poole as well. But again, it's going to do it for this episode. Appreciate all you guys for listening. Go Wiz.